is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Our Father, tonight as we have come and we desire that we might have your presence and blessing upon us, and so we ask. We ask that you would be pleased, and that as we look at your precious word, that it will cause our hearts to respond. And may we be encouraged, and may we see the effects of Christ's work, and may we glorify him for his completed work. In his name we pray. Amen. Yes, be seated. Thank you. Will you turn with me to 1 John and chapter 1? As a reason for turning to 1 John is that there is a glow of last Sunday's baptismal service. Wasn't that wonderful? You know, I like to let people know how much I appreciate what you've done. But it seems that just to say thank you and all that, you'd say, well, I heard him say that before, but I was real pleased how that you folk work together, you ladies. And, that was a tremendous meal you ladies provided. I got to tell you, that's so. And I believe God gave us a real good meal, too, from the Word of God. And so, the service, in spite of misgiblibbers, I believe God was pleased. I hope you got a blessing as much as I did. We need to pray for the fellows that were baptized. I am looking at a passage tonight that did come up in conversation, and especially as I read to you that we are dead to sin, or we have died to sin. How you doing? No problem with sin? Well, 1 John says, all right. 1 John, and I start with verse 6 of the first chapter. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's the word of God. And I want us to look at this verse 9 particularly. I somehow think that we treat it a little bit like the Roman Catholics. We may even be practicing a little bit of their ways. I think that we need to be look at this and say, well, man, what's your list look like? What list? The list of your sins. Don't, be careful. We don't have to put all of our dirty laundry out on the line. But some people have the opinion. Look at all these sins. Thought, word, and deed. Man, it says that we confess them. So if I confess all my sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. How you doing? How you doing? Well, I think we need to clear some things up. I know if I can, and I'm going to try. I probably will be dealing on Sunday evening on the matter of this matter of died. We've died to sin, or dead to sin, and alive to Christ. We got to clear some things up. First of all, it's pretty quite clear that we're all sinners. Can we agree to that? Yes, sir. And we sinned in Adam. And it is true that we sinned by our birth. We've been passed on. The sin nature has been passed on to us by our parents. This may be a little something. It comes by way of the man. This matter of the sin nature, not the woman. Oh! Well, she feeds the baby, that's true. But remember, Virgin Mary? She had a sin nature. And she, our Lord Jesus, was the one who was responsible for her conception. And her sin nature didn't go upon my Lord Jesus. So there may be something to it, but that's kind of deep, as my wife says. I may not get into that. Our Lord Jesus came by way of Virgin Mary, and she was a sinner. And yet he was perfectly sinless. Completely. Well, I don't want to get into that. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, there are people running around and do say that they believe that there's sinless perfection, that they're dead to sin. And that being dead to sin, they're no longer sinners. And they teach that from the pulpit and espouse it from the pews. Well, something's wrong here. You know, if you say you're not a sinner, that says the truth is not in us. The truth is not in you. And the Bible does say that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What are you pressing upon us? We know we're sinners. Well, I'll get to it. It's simply saying if we don't admit this, that we're deceived, and the word is not in us, and make God out a liar, and the truth is not in us. Four things. We're deceived, and the truth's not in us, and make God out a liar, and the word is not in us. You know, in Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says about our righteousness is as filthy rags. What are you talking about? Well, all the things that I do that seems to be good, in all of what I do that try to be good, there is found some personal ego. Yep, there's found just a little personal ego. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I know that, but he said all of our righteousness, all the good things you've done, there's a little bit of personal ego in it. He says it has filthy rags. And so in light of this matter of being freed sinners, Stuart Briscoe, you probably heard of his radio program. I don't listen to him, but I have in the past. He was in the United States Marine Corps. And he said we had a sergeant major. Yeah, sergeant major. He was tough as nails. Must have been back in World War II, because now they're not quite as tough, I don't believe. Oh, man. He just walked around the whole place, and you had to be, when you'd see him, you'd stand real straight, and when you did do everything perfectly. He said, well, a time came when I was completely discharged and had my papers. And he says, I was walking out of the camp, and here comes the sergeant major walking towards me. And he said, immediately I had been taught well enough to know that I was to go into a stance and a proper way of addressing him and so forth. But he remembered he had in his hands all his discharge papers. And he said something that I never thought I would ever do. He said, I just nonchalantly walked right, didn't salute him or anything. And he did not understand it. And some of us, we look at this matter of knowing Jesus Christ, and we have died to sin, the Bible says. And we're to be killing sin. But somehow or other, sin just crops up. I ought to say to you, how many sins did you kill today? We go out hunting, we see how many rabbits did you get today? Did you get a deer or so today? How many sins did you kill today? What in the world are you talking about? The Bible says mortify your sins. You know what a mortification means, don't you? It doesn't just say confess them. It says shoot them, kill them. Well, I need some help there. What kind of caliber do I use? Thank God that he does give us that restraining power. I tell you something, if you don't think being a Christian is tremendous, could you just imagine what would happen to you, that if the Spirit of God would just give off restraining power and let sin have its way in your life completely? Now, you may think you're a pretty good guy. You have no idea how that the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil can really throw you around. And so we're grateful. I'm grateful for a merciful God and a loving Savior. Oh, wow. The Bible says he bore our sins in his body on the tree. Our sins he bore on the tree. Our sins. Wonderful. Nice to know that. And it says that you know the reason why he hung on that cross, don't you? Why was he on that cross? Well, on that cross, the Word of God says that there he bore our sins. Well, I'm still having a little problem here. I thought we've died to sin and we're dead to sin. And you're telling us that we still have sins. And I kind of have been taught, maybe even by you, old preacher, that if I don't confess every sin, I won't have a good standing with the Lord, and I don't have liberty, and I won't have any power to witness because there's a few sins that still hang around and I can't seem to get the victory on. Maybe I'll just close shop. Well, no, don't do that. Because our Lord delights to show mercy, the Scripture amplifies that. Now, but verse 8 does say this, that we must confess our sins and not deny them. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We've got to be able to confess, not try to hide them. I don't see anything. I believe it in this generation, and it's possible that this generation is so illiterate that the Scripture has no impact upon them, and they do things, and they say, what's wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that. I just read today that the non-religious people in the United States has almost gone overtake the largest religious group in our country. That's the Roman Catholics. 15% of those that you walk about today, 15% are not really religious in the sense of you understand them as I understand them. And that group is increasing. And I'm thinking that if you think that everybody knows what faith means and what grace means and what sins mean, everybody knows it. Maybe you do, but most people don't know anything. It's like a different language to them. You almost have to explain what you mean to people, preachers included. So he took our place, absolutely. And we not dare not deny our sins. We got to face up to them. And the Bible says he was punished. Our Lord Jesus is punished for all our sins, the sins of all the believers. He paid the debt in full. He fulfilled the demands of the law, and justice is satisfied. Hallelujah. And he said, now then, verse 9, you take these sins, says, if you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, says here. Look at verse 7, the last part. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There are people who admitted that they were sinners, but they didn't mean it. In the Bible, there's quite a few of them. See, what do you mean? They admitted that they were wrong, but they didn't really mean it. Well, like who? Well, for instance, Pharaoh. He said, well, you know, he was saying, in essence, let him go. But he didn't mean it. He went after them, the Israelites. There was Balaam. And he wanted to die the death of the believers. He got hooked up with a bunch of crooks. Reminds me a lot of these TV preachers and pulpit preachers for what they can get out of it. King Saul, we've been hearing enough about King Saul. He showed repentance, but it wasn't genuine. He said to David, he said, you know, you're a better man than I am. You're my son-in-law. You're a better man than all that. And I'm sorry. And all that. And next thing, he's after David again. He didn't mean he was sorry. And then Judas. Judas was sorry for what he did. He went and hung himself. Well, I want to go to Luke 15 because if I need an example, I need an example that will be fitting. In the 15th chapter of Luke, we have the prodigal son. You know it by heart. Yeah, so do I. But the only thing of it is that some of this is the Word of God. It's not some book that you read a few times. This is God inspired. God breathed. And so here we are in the 15th chapter of Luke. About this certain man that had two sons, verse 11.
Luke 15, verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons. All right, the youngest of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me. And he divided them unto them his living. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he found himself in the hog pen. I mean, that's what it means. He sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, that's the crux of it. He came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I'll rise, go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy servants. That's all he wanted. Make me a slave. And he rose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck, kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. What a surprise. Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, is found. And they began to be merry. And then we go on about the elder son, but I don't want to get to him. I just want you to know here's a real example. And he said, it's all my fault. I'm not going to say it's daddy's fault. It's mommy's fault. It's because I am a Robbins. It's a Robbins outfit. It's caused me to have all this problems. No, it's my fault, the prodigal said. He took the blame. Some people can't take the blame. Well, did it work? Oh, yes. When he came to himself, verse 17, and some people never come to themselves. And they said, you know, wow, how better off the hired servants of my father. They have bread to eat and they are spare, and they said, I perish with hunger. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rise and go to my father. And you know, I've already premeditated what I'm going to say to him. I said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That's what confessing your sin is. Some people say, well, I don't think I was such a bad person. No. You don't think much about sin either, do you? Well, I never really felt I was lost. Always a pretty good fella. Never came to themselves. Never seen themselves as they really are. Whose fault are we going to... Who are we going to blame for that? Blame yourself. It's amazing. Just make me a slave, Lord. I'll be satisfied. And what a welcome he received. That's the way the Lord God does things. You confess your sins. He confessed his sin. Look what the outcome was. Now, I want to talk about verse 9 of 1 John. Why? Well, there's something there that in 1 John and chapter 1 and verse 9, it just kind of gets to me because the Bible encourages us to draw near and confess everything and to draw near to God. So I have big sins and law and small sins. Now, if you're a sensitive person, I know some of you are. Some of you kind of think you're perfectionists too. If you really are a perfectionist, you look at this verse 9 and say, wow, wow. Wow. All those things. Thought, word, and deed. You know, if I don't take care of this, why, I won't have any. I won't have any joy. I won't have any. I won't have any power for the Lord. And I'm just an unforgiven sinner. Or a sinner saved by grace, but just clouded over and in deep depression because I've got this sin, I got this sin, and I'm fighting it, and it still comes up, and it's like that snake that never seems to die until the dusk of night, and still has its nerves going around, cut its head off, and still seems, and Satan is, he seems like he's defeated, yet he's working us over, and say, might as well forget it. It's not working out. What's not working out? Well, this business of confessing all our sins and getting liberty about the whole things. So if you don't do it, you say, well, I'm living disobedient and the Spirit of God's not going to use us and so forth, and say, it works us over. Verse 5, let's look at that. Then this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Yes. So, we may not sin. Are we really forgiven as we really can be? What do you mean? Well, let's talk about the work of Jesus Christ in this verse 9. What do you mean, talk about the work of the Lord Jesus? Was his work complete? Was it plural? Are we saved? And as the Father sees us, he knows that in this life, in this flesh, that we will not arrive until Jesus Christ comes or until we die and be with the Lord and be glorified eventually. Are you saying then I can just live like I want to and I'll go to heaven? I didn't say that at all. In fact, I hope you, if you have that in your craw, you'll bring it Sunday night, the Lord willing, and we'll talk about this idea that now I'm a Christian, I can do just about what I want to and see what the Word of God says about it. The tense is that the blood of Jesus Christ continually, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's a continuous operation. Didn't quit back here when I come to know the Lord and said, that's it. Now it's up to you, buddy, to keep it going. No, no. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. It's continuous from all sin. Aren't you glad for that? Looks like we might make it yet. Lord, in spite of the problems I may have, and I'm not going to tell you and you don't tell me, we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If I have an addiction or something, I probably ought to say, won't you pray, help me, pray for me. I just read that pornography is making more money than any other operation. Making a big billions of dollars. Had a man just tell me Sunday evening. Yeah, Sunday evening. He said, anybody want my computer? I got one. He said, I even have on there a children thing and so forth and so on. He says, it's still a filthy thing. I don't want it. Well, I tell you, it's one thing to say it, but that old computer needs to be dedicated to the Lord. Lord God, help me. I don't want to spend time looking at it. And it's sneaky as a snake, even with your children, guardian, all that. You just pray God would give you, because it's a powerful, powerful sin. I don't know how I got on that, but I did anyway. Salvation. There are terms. Now, you know what I want to say to you? I look at verse 9 and says, something's not right here because we're not Catholics. We don't go to confession. And if we treat verse 9 like a Protestant confession, that's not the way to do it. Father, I'm sorry, and then go to and turn around and do it. Father, I'm sorry. Father, I'm sorry. Father, I did this. Forgive me. Whoa, wait a minute. Didn't the Bible says they were to kill our sins, mortify the flesh and the deeds of the flesh? Well, I'd like to know how to do that. You pray as this section of the Bible says. You ask the Father, Father, and I'm supposed to, I have died to sin. Find your union with Christ and your identification with Christ. Even as we talked about last Lord's Day in the baptismal service, we're united with Christ and He gives us His power. Come on now. And the Father will help us. Now it may take a while. Right? I'm not going to say abracadabra. I'm not going to say that to you. It may take a while. It may be that God will use that to wake us up about some things. I'll tell you, that verse 2 of chapter 2 of 1 John, and that He is the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole. What's that word propitiation mean? That God is satisfied. He what? He's satisfied. And He made satisfaction for our sins. It's through Christ. But not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, that's great. God is entirely satisfied with our Savior's payment at the cross of Calvary. And so we have this ongoing repentance. And the Bible says we're not saved. But we are to turn from our sins. We're to do something. We're to go to the Lord about it, the throne of grace. And you say, well, it doesn't seem to help. Keep at it. Bombard the throne of grace. God, I need help. And addictions can be all kinds of things. Christians can have addictions. All kinds. There's a conference that I've been invited to out near Chicago. It has a conference on how to instruct, help the addictions that are in our country from a biblical viewpoint. I'm not planning to go, but I think it'd be nice if somebody could go. Because there are a lot of addictions. So, it is actually Christ's work and not ours. That's the bottom line. Dear Lord, all power has been given to You. It's Yours, and I'm Your son, Father. Loving Father, I'm Your son. And all power has been given to our Lord Jesus. I'm asking for Your work. And so it is. We're to turn from our sins, that's true, but we realize also that it's Christ's work that really does the job of taking care of the sins. You know, I think we ought to go back to where we were in Matthew 6 before I stop here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, and you say, I know what that is. Well, let's look at it again. We pray, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if we forgive men, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Boy, what does that mean? Well, it's actually saying, when you forgive, it's to be fully and freely. You know, you heard that saying, but I can forgive, but I can't forget what He's done to me. You don't have it because that doesn't pass. That doesn't pass. When you give forgiveness to men, our Father forgives us fully and freely. And when we have a problem with one another and we say, I forgive you, brother, sister, it means fully and freely. We don't even know what it means to be fully and freely forgiven of our Father. So if you're not a forgiver, you're not forgiven. And our Father is a forgiver. And we are forgiven. Be like your Father, which is in heaven. I think we ought to be cognizant about our sins. 1 John 1:9, yes. And I do think that I think that we ought to not be thinking about ourselves every time we look at that verse and, hey, I gotta take care of this here right now. I gotta do it. Yeah. But listen, it is Christ that has done the work. You look at the work of Christ instead of looking yourself by introspection, because introspection will give you a depression. Any of you know anything about depression? But glorify Christ for what he's done for us and his completed work at Calvary. It's Christ. And that's why we sang that hymn twice tonight. Because that's such a beautiful hymn. In fact, the matter is, I want to look at it again. I never knew this until some years ago. So one of you wonderfully gave it out. And we sang it, 419. You say, is it that precious? Oh, yeah, it really is. Are you saying 1 John 1:9 is basically salvation and not sanctification, preacher? Yep, I think it really is. It's for the sinner. And you tell him he needs to confess that he's a sinner. And God is faithful and just to forgive you, but you've got to confess that you're a sinner, mister. And if you're honest, who was it that said that? I don't know who it was. Oh, I know who it was. You remember an evangelist called Rolf Barnard? He said, only honest people will go to heaven. What in the world do you mean? All honest people going to heaven? He said, you have to admit that you're lost and you need a Savior. And this verse 9, I think, is basically for lost people rather than for we who are desirous of being more holy. And yet it has application. And that we can also sing with the lost people, 419, can we, friends? I need thee, precious Jesus. You say, well, I'm a Christian. You still need him, for I'm full of sin. No, you aren't. Yes, there's plenty of sin. And that goes for the lost person as well as the Christian. My soul is dark and it's guilty. My heart is dead within. I need the cleansing fountain and where I can always flee. It's the blood of Jesus, most precious. It's a sinner's perfect plea. I love that. Or else I'll go into despair. So I need thee, precious Jesus, for I'm very poor. He's speaking spiritually. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. I have no earthly store. I need the love of Jesus to cheer me on my way, to guide my doubting footsteps, to be my strength and stay. I need thee, precious Jesus, and hope to see thee soon. Encircled with the rainbow and seated on the throne, there with thy blood-bought children, my joy shall ever be, to sing my Jesus' praises, to gaze, O Lord, on thee. Let's give glory to God. Let's give glory to Lord Jesus on this matter of where we are and where we stand with Christ, and ask him to help us, and let us fight against it, and not just say, well, I'm sorry. Sorry, officer! May I see your driver's license, owner card, insurance card? Sorry, officer! And you know right well you were doing 70 mile an hour, 75, 80. But he took the sting, took the stinger away. Oh, dear friends, I want to know more about how we can be dead to sin. All right, we've died to sin. The Lord willing, I want to get at that, but this was just preliminary. And I just thought I'd just throw that out, basically, to show that we're not diminished the work of Christ in this whole matter. And quit this strong introspection and depression that can come from looking at ourselves rather than looking at Christ as the answer.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.